our local candidate forums continue here this afternoon. As glad to be joined here in studio by State District 27B Representative Gene Poppe, a DFLer, of course, here from Austin, and Republican challenger Patricia Mueller here for the 2020 election. Thank you both so much for being with us here today on KUS. And again, the same format here as we just had with our Senate candidates will go here. Again, being held in conjunction with the Austin Area Chamber of Commerce, and the candidates will be given a chance to make an opening statement, followed by questions that have been submitted to by the chamber. The candidates will have a maximum of 2 minutes to answer those questions, and at the end of the forum, they'll have a chance to deliver a closing statement. And Representative Poppe, we'll let you get things underway with an opening statement. Thank you for being with us here this afternoon.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks to the Austin Area Chamber of Commerce for providing this candidate forum and to KAUS for airing it for the public. My name is Jean Poppe, and I have represented District 27B in the Minnesota House for the past 16 years. I have a successful record, achieving many positive results for our area. I believe the potential and likelihood for success is driven by the relationships I have developed over more than 20 years of public service. When I go to the Capitol, I know and trust my elected and appointed colleagues in city, county, school, and township governments to help me know of the needs and concerns from their perspective. I expect to hear and see many organizations and community advocates, from services to people with disabilities, to housing, to farmers, to small business owners, to healthcare and wellness providers, and everything in between. In St. Paul, I work together to solve problems. Many of my bills are co-authored by Republicans. As chair of the Ag and Food Finance and Policy Division, we routinely are seen as the most bipartisan committee in the legislature. I am intentional in being collaborative and considerate when hearing different points of view. You can't get to the best solution if you have a my way or the highway approach. My motto, Poppe for the People, comes from the heart. I am a listener, a helper, a problem solver, and an advocate. My most meaningful experiences come from helping individuals and families who have felt some struggle or barrier and need help to resolve their problem. These are exceptionally trying times, and I am ready and able to continue working for the people of District 27B as we strive to make it through the tough times. I served in the Minnesota House during the 2008 recession and the years of deficit budgets. I understand the challenges it takes to navigate through to get to better times. Thanks for the opportunity today to discuss our future.
Thank you, Gene. And, of course, we'll move over here to Patricia Mueller. Patricia, also, thank you so much for being with us here this afternoon. Your opening statement this afternoon, please.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for the Chamber and for KUS for hosting this, and also for Representative Poppe for being here so that we can have this really great discussion. Just a little bit about myself. I've been an educator for the last 17 years, and I've been very active, not only in the community, but in I've been teaching all around the world, including 3 years in China. And when I returned back to the States in 2010, I just knew that it was really important for me to get involved in what was happening in our country, because we are blessed to live in a place that allows us to elect people who are our leaders. And if we do not take advantage of the fact of that we get to participate in this process, then democracy dies, because democracy dies when we are apathetic about it. I was asked to run several times and always said no, because I was so sure there was someone else that was better than me for this. But once we saw how important this race is, then I was compelled to run. I find that it's something that's really important for me. I talked to my students a little bit about this, because I'm still teaching, and I kept telling them that I couldn't ever do this. And they told me, they said, you know, Mrs. Mueller, you keep telling us that our voice matters. You better do this. And when they use your words against you, you better listen. My motto is be brave and be free. And I want to do that with by representing this area uniquely, and to be fiscally conservative, and being able to preserve and protect the freedoms and defend the freedoms that we are, that are God-given by our Constitution. So thank you again for inviting us here.
All right. Well, thank you for that. And we'll stay with you here, Patricia, for our first question. And we addressed this in our first forum, but obviously it goes for you as well, or you candidates as well. COVID-19, of course, has been, as you well know, very tough on businesses around District 27B and the rest of the state. How could you help our businesses locally if you're elected in November?
Yes. It was in March, you know, when everything kind of shut down. And my husband and I were very intentional about going to all of the different businesses in the surrounding areas, in Dexter and Grand Meadow and Adams. And we made sure, in Lyle, we made sure that we were able to visit these small businesses. And the one thing I kept hearing over and over again is, I don't understand why I am being... they use the word punished, but why I'm asked to follow the same rules when we don't have hardly as many cases as the Metro does. And this is a way for us to really come together as a community, and we saw that the community came together, which just proves that community and local government is able to take care of these businesses. I found out from the Austin City Council yesterday that there is about $200,000 in grants for small businesses, but the best way that we can get our small businesses back to work is to let them get back to work, because it's really important for them to be able to innovate and create the way that they can work in this new normal that we have. We're given some guidelines, and no business wants their customers to be hurt, and no business wants their employees to get hurt. So as we give them guidelines, I think it's really important to let them look at how they can work their business the best, get these mandates off their back so that they're able to get back to work and get the and use their business the way that they're supposed to. So thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. And Representative Poppy, same question to you. Again, like we said, COVID-19, very, 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 very tough, to say the least, on many businesses, especially small businesses. How would you continue to help our businesses locally if you're reelected in November?
Well, there probably are a few things. One is, we in Minnesota can't make money, and, we can't do what the federal government can. So certainly seeking money from the feds in order to be able to help support our businesses, our farmers, our industries, to continue to do that and push for that. This is a global pandemic, and it's impacted everyone throughout the state, throughout the nation, throughout the world. So one thing I do think is important is to recognize that it's a public health crisis and that we have to continue to identify it as such. And we have to continue to help people to make good decisions for themselves and for their community. Being able to encourage people to wear masks is an important aspect early on, and then the governor made the decision to make it an equitable decision across the state that everybody would be required to wear a mask if they're going to go into a public facility. I think that that's something that businesses, they might not have been willing to do perhaps on their own, but having an equitable standard allows them to be able to all be treated the same and continue to do that. I have supported the governor and have talked to the governor when I didn't support some of the decisions he's made. I seek flexibility. I think it's important for us to have the ability for our small businesses to open up, the Main Street businesses. I would have liked to see that happen sooner, but I know that the governor is looking for the public health of everybody. So throughout the state, I will continue to seek opportunities for how we can spend CARES Act dollars and how we can get more CARES Act dollars here in the state so that we can help to support our businesses. And I think I'd appreciate that what the chamber has done to support that as well.
All right. Thank you, Jean. And we'll stay with you here for our next question to start. Of course, as you well know, a nearly $5 billion budget shortfall facing the state of Minnesota next year because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And how would you help to plan budget for this unfortunate shortfall?
Jason, that's a great question. Minnesota is in a good spot because we did have healthy reserves, and that's something that has happened over the course of the last 8 years, 10 years. So I'm really glad that we were able to go into this, as awful as it's been, with some money in the bank. What we will have to do is we're going to have to look at each budget. Each department, each agency is going to have to come forward and be able to talk about what their priorities are. I know that they are already being asked to consider where they can cut, where they can reduce spending, where they can realign what the spending might be. But there, we're going to be looking at this, you know, I don't want to see us borrowing again from the schools, which is something we did in, after the 2008 recession. That doesn't help our school districts. Mm-hmm. So to not go down that path, we're going to have to look at how we can reassess where money is going. But I'd say detailing really the budget and each of the budget items within whatever the, you know, I'm an ag and food finance person, so it would be in the agriculture budget. What are the aspects of that budget that perhaps are less of a priority, even though most of it is a priority? So how do we continue to realign that and reassess? And I think that this is an opportunity for us to do that. It's also going to be a challenge for us.
Yeah, right. And same question to you, Ms. Mueller. Again, as mentioned, if you're elected, obviously you've got this nearly $5 billion budget shortfall because of the COVID-19 pandemic staring you and the rest of the state representatives in the face. How would you plan to budget for that if you're elected in November?
Well, thank you for asking. What we know right now is that, you know, adding on to what Representative Poppy said, is that, yeah, we did have some healthy reserves, but we also know that we are the fifth highest taxed state in our union here. And so it is, seems to be some sort of a way where people keep thinking that, oh, well, if we just keep asking for money, now is not the time to be asking for more money from our families as they are struggling to make ends meet from the COVID crisis. We cannot continue to raise taxes. And just like Representative Poppy says, we can't print more money and we have to have a balanced budget. So what we need to do is to go back and look at what our function of government is. What is the actual function of government? Looking for each of the places that we need to audit and examine each of our programs to make sure that they align to the essential function of government and that there is no corruption, there's no wasteful spending, there's no fraud, because we know that there has been accounts of that. And that is not a good way that we spend our tax money. We are not accountable to the taxpayers when we are using their money inappropriately. And there's millions of dollars that have been wasted in previous years. And so we need to make sure that that is stopped and that we are able to then core back to what we are supposed to be doing as government in our core functions so that we can govern effectively without raising taxes.
Thank you. We'll stay with you here, Ms. Mueller, for our next question. Right now, a big bonding bill kind of hanging in limbo right now at the state capitol. And if you're elected, I guess basically what do you think are some of District 27B's current infrastructure needs?
Well, thank you. I did a lot of talking with some people as this question was asked of us from the Austin Daily Herald, and so I was able to do a little bit of research with this and be able to ask some people. You know, infrastructure is one of the core functions of government, and roads and bridges and broadband, these are things that that people need in order to access education, to access employment, to have commerce continue, and yet we know while there still seems to be some sort of funding imbalance because we have crumbling streets and areas in our district that are not being addressed, despite the fact that the metro areas seem to continue to get more light rail and more like bike lanes. These are things that are not appropriate uses for people who are down here where we're funding them, but yet we're not getting the benefits of any of them. And they're still being subsidized by the government, even after they're being used up in the cities. It's important for us to stand up. And if I'm elected, I want to be able to stand up and say, listen, we don't need to be funding these things that are just draining dollars from taxpayers in 27B who have no benefit from this. I want to be able to stand up and say to people that, listen, we need to be have more fair, balanced funding and make tough choices to say we might not spend money here, but that's because we need essential repairs down in 27B. And so that's something I'm looking forward to being able to stand up and represent the people of 27B for.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Mueller. Moving on back over here to Representative Poppy. And Gene, of course, as you well know, this the bonding bill is again still kind of it is in limbo here right now. And again, if you're reelected in November, I'm sure the needs that are in the bill right now obviously would be addressed. Hopefully, if it passes. But are there others that you think are of importance here in District 27B?
Thanks, Jason. A bonding bill doesn't magically happen, because if it did, we would not be talking about it, because it would magically happen and we'd have that taken care of. What it is a put together bill with needs from all over the state and people who have come to the Capitol and said, this is what we need in our small community, in our large city. This is what we need. This is how we need to do it. And so it really, as I've called it before, it's kind of the kumbaya bill, because people need to recognize that even though I am going to be representing our district and say these are what's important here, the wastewater treatment plant, for instance, that's a high priority. Making sure our local roads and bridges that we get the funding for. Maybe Riverland Community College has some additional needs and they want to grow and add on. We have flood hazard mitigation. That's something that we've gone to for 16 years. I've gotten bonding dollars to be able to address flood hazard mitigation and the needs that we have here. But we all come to the Capitol, we all say this is what we need from our district, but everybody has needs. And so trying to come up with a bill means that you have to try to figure out the geographic balance, the balance based on what the items are and what categories they're under, what the total amount is. This year we were hampered. The Senate Republicans wanted a very small bill, and since we hadn't been doing one for a while, we have many needs, so we need to have a larger bill. We also right now have that the House Republicans won't vote for a bill. It's something that we have to have a supermajority, so when you're not in a supermajority of one caucus, you have to have the other caucus support, and right now we're not getting that. So it's we're at a point in time where it's very difficult to be able to get a bonding bill. We do have needs, and I'd like to see us make that happen.
All right. Staying with you here, Representative Poppy, for our next question. We addressed this in our first forum, but we'll do so again here, of course, that obviously the ag economy, huge here in District 27B, and like we were mentioning, a lot of the problems with agriculture, low prices for crops and things of that sort have to be solved at a national and sometimes a globally or a global level, I should say, but what are some of the things that you would continue to push for our farmers here in 27B if you're reelected in November?
Well, certainly I've been very proud to be able to be the chair of the House Ag and Food Finance and Policy Division. We are always looking at what is the greatest need in agriculture and what are the greatest opportunities for us to be able to support our farmers. One thing is Section 179. I was a chief author of that bill last year. The House headed in the bill. The governor headed in the tax bill. We were poised to move forward, but the Senate did not want to accept that as the bill moved forward. So Section 179 and having that be able to make it all the way through would be great. I've worked very hard on mental health issues. We want to make sure that we continue to provide that emotional support. Our farmers are facing 6 years of having low prices, and the weather is a condition that they can't have any control over. Many things are happening along those lines, in a federal tariffs and other things that impact them. So we're trying to make sure that we do that. Infrastructure, again, when we talk about biofuels infrastructure and trying to make sure if we're going to have ethanol, and we want to increase that, then how do we have the infrastructure for that? Can we get that built throughout the state? Not everybody is prepared for that. Not everybody has the money to be able to deal with that. So we're going to continue to work on that. I know that Senator Sparks talked about emerging farmers and beginning farmers, and that's another area where, you know, we did create an emerging farmers task force this year, and so they're trying to get people together to be able to talk about that. We need to make sure that people understand that agriculture is a great industry to get into, and there can be many aspects of it. It doesn't have to be just farming and just being in the soil and the land, but there are many aspects, and so I would say that those are a number of the things.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jean. And moving back over here, but Patricia, same question to you. Like I was mentioning, a lot of these issues, unfortunately, affecting our farmers have to be solved on a, hopefully they're solved on a national or a global level, but what would be some of the things that you would do for our farmers here in District 27B if you're elected on November 3rd?
Great. Well, thank you. It is true that Representative Poppy has been the chair of the Ag Committee, and I definitely do not have the benefit of that, of being up in the legislature for the last 16 years. But the benefit I do have is that I understand as a teacher how important it is to learn from the people who are doing the work. Mm-hmm. And so I, early on in my campaign, I got together some people who are farmers, and I said, I just want to listen to you. I want to listen to what your needs are and how I could best represent you in St. Paul, because this is an area that I need to learn about. And they were so excited to be able to share about who they were and how they can best, how they need to have more freedom to farm the way that they want to farm. One of the things that came up in the meeting that was really important and a big issue was health care for them. And they talked about how important it was for them to have health care that was transparent and mobile, that they were able to work with fellow farmers to create co-ops or some sort of area so that they are able to not have health care be all of their monthly budget that they have. The other area that I was listening to from the people in 27B was that there are so many mandates and so many regulations that they need to follow. And so I think one of the things that I really bring to the table, one of the advantages that I bring to the table, is that I understand how important it is to learn from people who are in the trenches doing the work, listening to them and as they tell me their concerns and their issues, so that I can then go and best represent them in St. Paul.
Okay. And one final question. We'll move on to education here. And Patricia, staying with you for this one, do you believe Minnesota's Safe Learning Plan for this year is an effective response to addressing the educational concerns during this pandemic?
Okay, well, thank you so much. And, 2 minutes is going to be a struggle. I'm in the trenches right now. I am a teacher teaching currently right now in a public school. And so I understand all of the mandates and all of the craziness that is happening in the classroom. What was disappointing for me was the fact that, you know, the governor said that we were going to have district decisions, and that seemed like a great idea. But then they said, JK, we're going to make sure that you follow what is in the county. And so now for Maurer County, we have to make sure that we do a different learning plan for how many active cases there are. Well, that means Austin and Lyle and Grand Meadow and all these other rural districts have to follow the same plan, and they may not have hardly any cases in their town. Listen, we know that students need to be in the classroom, and they are heroic efforts by the teachers, by the administrators, and by the students to be flexible and be able to kind of accommodate with these changes. But we need to follow science. We need to make sure that we are looking at how important it is that students are with each other, they're with educators, that they have multiple avenues to learn and multiple avenues to look at their passions and their desired outcomes in their life. And it's so important that we are able to provide quality education for them. And, you know, one of the things that I struggled with the most, especially as an educator, was the fact that, you know, we are to provide distance learning for people, and that's great, and our teachers are doing an amazing job. But public schools aren't designed for that. Mm-hmm. And so by promoting free online options for our students could have been a way for us to have provided quality education in a way that is actually built for online schools. So thank you so much, and passion of mine.
Right. Thank you, Patricia. Representative Poppe, same question to you. Do you think Minnesota's Safe Learning Plan for this school year is an effective response to addressing educational concerns during this COVID-19 pandemic?
I think it's the best response at this time. If we don't know what the future holds, we don't know, and that's been one of the issues, I think, from the beginning of the global pandemic and our reaction to it. It's always a reaction because we don't know. And as we learn more, we're able to develop more, a better strategy. Mm-hmm. And so as we move forward, I think, the governor gave options. He gave in-person, online, or the hybrid. And every school has the opportunity, along with their school board, which is their community representatives for that school, to be able to determine how they're best going to address that. And yes, there are some parameters around that, but that's because we need to also maintain public health. And that's got to be a consideration. Certainly wearing masks in and out of school, mm-hmm. When you're in the community, that's a must do, because we can do what we can to prevent the spread, but there are too many instances where people are disregarding that, and so that's what's caused this community spread. So as much as we can wear masks and pay attention to that, the students' mental health, as well as teachers and staff, we want to make sure that people feel safe and secure where they are. And so I think it's important to allow for the families to make decisions about whether or not their children should be in school or not, but also those teachers need to be able to determine if they're able to be present in that classroom, or if they can be doing something else in order to be able to educate the kids. I think the governor has, as a teacher himself, he's really concerned about this. As a parent, he wants to make sure that he's making the best decisions, but he also understands that flexibility mattered.
Sure. All right. Thank you, Representative Poppe. And we'll move on now to closing statements here for this forum. And we'll move over to Patricia Mueller. Your closing statement this afternoon, please.
Great. Well, thank you again for hosting this forum. It's so important for the public to be able to hear from us, especially during these strange times where we don't get to do some of the normal things. You know, as your representative, my number one job, if I were to be elected, is to represent you, is to represent 27B. My slogan is to be brave and to be free. And I want to be brave to stand up for you, to be the representative of 27B, because we are not the metro. We are 27B. People choose to live in this beautiful area that has so much diversity, so much multicultural people who are coming. The world is coming here because of how amazing this area is. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure to be brave, to stand up and represent us uniquely. We also need to make sure to be fiscally conservative so that your government is accountable to you and that they are transparent with how they are spending your money. And then finally, we need to make sure that I want to be brave to preserve your freedoms, to preserve your God-given rights like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, with supporting and preserving small businesses, making sure that we're pro-small business, pro-Second Amendment, pro-religious freedom. I really want to make sure all these values that we hold down here in 27B are so unique and so special that I want to make sure that I am your representative that uniquely represents you down here. So thank you so much, and I appreciate all your support for those of you who are listening, and for those of you who choose to get involved. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Patricia. And Representative Poppe, your closing statement this afternoon, please.
Well, yes, thanks, Jason. Thanks again to the Austin Chamber and KAUS. for this opportunity. The job of state representative requires a comprehensive mix of skills and experiences. There are often many perspectives and positions on a number of issues. Listening and learning from constituents is an ongoing activity and one I take seriously. I appreciate hearing from people with different perspectives when the dialogue is civil and respectful. At times, I have changed my position on issues when provided reasons to do so. I'm a member of the DFL caucus, but there are times I don't follow the caucus because people in our district have a different perspective. I support our business community and our farmers. I support labor and our teachers. I want health care to be affordable and accessible to all residents of our district. I want safe roads and bridges in rural areas and understand we need to address traffic congestion in the metro. I support our local law enforcement and sheriff's department and also want to address racial injustice. Many issues are not black or white, red or blue, right or wrong. If we don't consider viewpoints from others, we won't be successful in mending our fences and healing our wounds. I'm proud to have served in the Minnesota House for the past 16 years. I've received awards, recognition, and endorsement from many groups and organizations because of my ability to lead and successfully pass legislation. I humbly ask for the opportunity to continue for another 2-year term. Our future is important. The problems are many. The solutions complex. But together we can get through it, just like Minnesotans have been doing for over 160 years. I would appreciate your vote on or before November 3rd. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for being with us here this afternoon on AM 1480 KUS.